Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for hearing our prayers this evening. We thank you that we have this great privilege and opportunity to bring before your throne of grace so many that are on our list and many that aren't. We lift them up to you, and we ask that, Lord, as well our Heavenly Father, as the divine healer, as the one who can and will meet any and all need for the very best, specifically for those that are yours, but even bestowing mercy and abundance upon those who are not, we pray for each one of them. Lord, God Almighty, we pray for healing for those that are sick. We pray for encouragement for those that are discouraged. We pray for resources, Lord, and finances for those that are going through difficult times. We pray, Father, Lord, for your conviction upon those that are yet without Christ, who are living in darkness, who have nothing to look forward to at the end of this life except eternal death. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of their souls. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering. We ask that you would, answer these prayers and be blessed and glorified by the very fact that we know that there is none other but you that we can take them to. We love you, Lord, and we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I rushed in here at the beginning of service from a meeting, so I didn't get a chance to say hi to really any of you personally, but did also miss the opportunity to meet and greet our visitors today. And so with us today from Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples is Jim and Bonnie Moore. And so we want to welcome you guys to joining us here this time of prayer and worship. And God bless you for the work that you're doing in bringing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And it's also my great honor and privilege to introduce to you someone that, you should already know. He's been with us for a week and a half, and he's been no stranger. And I hope you've had an opportunity to talk to Michael and speak to him one-on-one. And if you haven't, then I would ask that you'd find the time to do so. Because not only is he a very nice and engaging young man, but I could tell from our first meeting that he is someone who is, who is a dedicated servant of the Lord, and sincerely desires not only to see God's will accomplished in his life, but to be used of the Lord for his glory and honor. And I know that his preaching to us tonight is going to be a blessing. And I know it's going to honor the Lord. And I pray that we're just as much an encouragement to him as he is to us. So without further ado, we turn the service over to Michael B.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. All right, well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. Whenever I was born in Florida, whenever I was 6 years old, my family moved to North Carolina, to Bryson City, North Carolina. And we lived there for some time, and I was saved whenever I was 12 years old. I went with my grandpa to a church. It was one of those hellfire and brimstone preaching churches up in the mountains of North Carolina. And the preacher, he was preaching on hell. And the Lord just really worked in my heart. He showed me that I needed to be saved. And so I went ahead and I got saved when I was 12 years old. Fast forward in time, I kind of, my family wasn't in church. And I moved to Florida. And I started working at a job. And a fellow coworker of mine, he went ahead and he started to encourage me to start reading my Bible and start to pray and start to find a church. And I started to follow along with that. And eventually, the Lord led me to his church. Some of you have heard of it. It's Central Baptist Church in Ocala, Florida. Ocala, Florida. And from there, the Lord started to work in my heart and he called me to preach whenever I was 20 years old. And then from there, the Lord just kind of, you know how he works, very slowly sometimes, but he slowly built me up. And then he took me to a place called Ambassador Baptist College up in North Carolina. And I've been working there. I've been doing school for 4 years. I have one more semester left. And then after that, I feel like the Lord wants me to become a full-time either pastor or assistant pastor to start out with. And that's just kind of a little bit of background of just where I come from spiritually. Personally, I'll just tell you that I have a couple of things that I like. I'm a fan of crazy socks. And some would say that I am addicted to pizza, but they would be right. And I have a good time just being with friends and serving the Lord. And I know that's a very standard, thing to say, but that's honestly where God has showed me the most fulfillment in life. So today we're going to be talking about Joseph, and we're going to be talking about the people around Joseph. You know, I'd say that my intentions here are to preach a series through the life of Joseph, but I have what we call spiritual ADHD. So there's more than likely we're not going to stay in Joseph the whole time that I'm here. Hopefully we'll be able to hit on some key points in his life. You know, coming here, I wasn't really that nervous, you know, driving down here to Open Door. I wasn't nervous. I was confident. I was like, the Lord, he's got me. He's got me in his hand, and everything's going to be okay. And then I hit that light right over there, and my little GPS said one turn to go. And it was just like, it's actually happening now. Oh, man, oh, what am I going to do? And, you know, I started getting all nervous and stuff, and I was like, I pulled in the parking lot, you know, this big, beautiful building, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm just not ready for this. And then I'm like, and they're expecting me to preach every Wednesday. How am I going to do this? Me. And then all of a sudden God was like, hey, they're not here for you. They're here for me. And the Lord reminded me of that. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And so I just want us to revel in the power of God's word and the power of his spirit. And that's what I want us to look into today is and see what God is trying to teach us through his word. So I'm going to read a good amount of passage tonight. I want to read the entire chapter 37. Or a good amount of it. But first, we'll just start on chapter 37 of Genesis, 1 through 11. And let's get started here. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah and his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they that hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his word. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed his sayings. Now, I know that this is a very familiar story to a lot of you guys, and sometimes whenever we start reading a story that's familiar to us, you know, we just kind of turn it off, and we just, okay, we know this whole story, we don't need to listen. But I think every time we approach God's word, we need to come to it with an open heart, saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What can I learn from this? Lord, show me. And I think through his spirit and through the word, he will show you if you ask for it. And so here, before we start, I do want to kind of get a poll. Who here is the youngest in their family? I want you to raise your hand if you're the youngest in your family. Okay, I'm the youngest in my family. I only have one older sister. Okay, those of you who raised your hand, you know what it's like, right? You know what it's like to just to have that burden, that responsibility of being absolutely perfect in every way. Like, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you guys. But, you know, here Joseph, he was favored because he was the son of his father's old age. He was favored because he was Rachel's, and Rachel was the wife that Jacob actually wanted to marry. And so he was the oldest son of Rachel. And, you know, because of this, Jacob really loved him more than his other brothers. And, you know, Joseph was favored above his brothers. But today I really don't want to talk about Joseph as our main character. I want us to view his brothers. And I want us to see the sin that was in their life, the sin of bitterness. And, you know, bitterness is one of those sins that's, like, really corrosive, and it's slow moving, and it's very subtle. And sometimes it just slips into your life and you don't really know that it's there. And bitterness has destroyed millions of homes. It's destroyed relationships. It is a destroyer. And it's very, very toxic. But I want us to view the reasons, the result, and the remedy of this story here, of bitterness. But let's pray before we get into this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. And God, I thank you so much that your power is above all. I thank you that you can enable. I thank you that you want to teach us. And Lord, I just ask that if there's anybody here tonight that is holding on to bitterness, that is holding on to anger or jealousy or anything of the sort, that they would just yield it to you. And God, I ask that your Holy Spirit would prick their hearts, even now as I pray, that they would see that they need to get right with you. And Lord, I just thank you so much for your love and all that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, said that there are two commandments that are above all. Does anybody? I usually ask this question to like my teens and my kids, so I'm going to ask you guys, what is the greatest commandment in all of the Bible? Just raise your hand if you know. All right, now go ahead, and what is the second greatest commandment? Love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two, hang all of the law and the prophets. And you know, it's really easy to say, love your neighbor, right? It's really easy to say that. It's really hard to love some people. I was pulling in the parking lot the other day. Somebody, you know, prime spot right there by the door. It was just sprinkling raining. I was like, oh man. And then all of a sudden this person out of nowhere, right there in my spot. I was like, it's okay. Everything's okay. And you know, and then my truck doesn't have AC. So I was about to go through this green light. And then this guy slows down. He's going like 10 or 20 miles an hour under the speed limit. I'm like, come on, dude, we're going to miss this light. And then the light turns yellow, and then he starts to slow down. And then he goes through, and I'm stuck at the light. And it's like 100 degrees outside, and my truck is burning up, and I feel like an egg in there or a piece of bread or something. I'm just like getting burned up, and I'm sitting there trying to love this guy. But honestly, it's hard to love people that are difficult like that. And, you know, there's some people that, you know, they've done nothing wrong, and you have something wrong against them just because they look funny or, you know, something like that. You know, some people are hard to love because, you know, maybe they're obnoxious, maybe they're rude, maybe they're just distasteful in some sort. And, you know, it's really, I'd say it's the hardest to love someone that has lied to you, someone that has cheated you, or someone that's just really hurt you deeply. I think that that's the hardest people to love. And, you know, today we're going to look at Joseph's brothers, and we're going to look at their root of bitterness and see how anger and envy and jealousy all led to this. And, you know, I think it's very evident in the text. If you look at verse 2 of chapter 37, it said, Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, we're not sure exactly what this sin was that he brought this evil report to his father. We're not really sure what that evil report was. But we see that it's obvious that his brothers were not happy. I think that this is the very beginning of when they started to not like him, the spark of anger that kind of led into the rest of their sins. And, you know, I see that in the world all the time. You know, oftentimes we try to stand for something that's right, and people, they get mad at us, right? Because they don't want you to be opposed to them. They want you to just follow in their folly. We see it all the time in the news. We see it all the time in just social media. Whenever somebody has an opposing view, these other people, they view it as an attack. And that's what his brothers have done. They're saying, okay, well, you don't condone of our sin. You're not conforming to us. So, you know, I believe this is the very beginning of their dislike towards him. And let's look in verse number 3 as well. I think this is also another thing that has led into their bitterness. And it says, and now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So we see that they don't like him because he has had some form of, you know, he's taken a higher ground morally. But we also see that they have a bitterness against him because he is favored above them. And we often see this in life, right? Somebody, you know, they're going to their job and they get a promotion, or somebody else gets a promotion and you see that. Have you guys ever had that happen where somebody gets promoted and you kind of have that little thing inside of you that's like, I wish I would have gotten that. Or maybe I deserve that. This guy's a bum. Like, why is he getting it and I'm not? You know, I think that's a very natural thing, but it's not a very Christianly thing to have. But, you know, I understand that you want to do right. You want to impress your boss. I don't know if impress is the right word. Maybe you want to please your boss. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to please those who are in authority over you. Like for me, coming here, like, I want to please Pastor Farley. I want to make him happy. And I want to make you guys happy. And I want to please you guys. But there's a balance to that in the Christian life. We have to see that, for me, it's not about pleasing you or pleasing the pastor. I have to please God. And that's how it needs to be for all of us. Whenever you go to that job, it's not about pleasing your boss. It's not about pleasing your other workers. It's about pleasing God. And whenever you please God, it'll be an outflow to please others. But pleasing God, it should be your number one priority. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3 and just support that real quick with some scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Servants, obey in all your masters according to the flesh, and not with eye servants as man-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive a reward of your inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." It is so important for us to understand that whenever we seek to please others, one of us is going to be disappointed. Because you're a person, you're just a human, you're just flesh, and they're just a human and they're just flesh, and there's going to be a breakdown somewhere there. So it is so important that we seek to please God and not to please others. Whenever we seek to favor others, you know, we're going to fall short every time. I see this all the time with kids coming into college, whenever I work with teens, with all these things. I keep seeing it reoccur over and over again. They are trying to please their parents, right? Have you guys seen that? Nod your head if you've seen that. Yeah? They try to please their parents, but their parents have set this standard that's either really high or maybe unreachable. And whenever they do this, the child, you know, they're striving, they're trying to do their best or the best they can, and then eventually they're going to fall short because it's unattainable. And what does that child often do? They get angry. They get bitter. And then oftentimes they rebel and do the very thing the parents wanted to avoid in the first place. And we see that over and over in the Christian circles, that they're trying to please their parents, but ultimately they fall short because they're trying to please their parents. But if they start trying to please God, they're going to in turn please their parents, because that's just the way that God made it to be. And, you know, we've heard that now that, you know, they're seeking after approval, they're seeking after morality, and, you know, they're seeking after their father's favor. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 37. You know, here it says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." You know, that's a big indicator right there. Whenever you can't speak peaceably unto somebody, that's a time to check yourself, because that shows where your heart's at. "And they were jealous also," if you continue in the story here, "they were jealous of his coat. They were jealous of his material favor." Envy and jealousy over material gain is literally the dumbest thing a Christian could do. Think about it. Our home is in heaven. this world is, Pastor Farley's been talking about that lately, right? He's been talking about the 75 years versus the 75 million years. It's just here and gone. Anything outside of trying to help the souls of men and outside of pleasing God is absolute vanity. It's a complete waste of our time. But some people, they really get bitter and they really get jealous over not having these material things. They want this coat here. These brothers, they want the coat. And some say that this coat was a full-length coat and maybe represented that Joseph was going to one day take over the family. But it obviously definitely demonstrated his favor in the family. But it is something that the brothers, they were very jealous of. So now we have that they're jealous. Okay, he's gotten favor with the father. He's got the coat. He's got all these material things. And also the Lord starts speaking to him through dreams. And, you know, I would think that this family would be accustomed to God speaking to them through dreams, right? Because of Jacob and the ladder, Jacob and the animals and all that. But they don't see it that way. Or maybe they do see it that way, and they simply choose not to see it as God's hand. And in verse 8, it says, "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams." And they hated him for his dreams, guys. In verse 11, it says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed his sayings." And these are the reasons that his brothers hated him. They hated him because of his moral uprightness. They hated him because they were jealous of his father's favor, because of his material gain, because of his godly favor. And those are the reasons that they were bitter. And, you know, I hope that we can maybe see that in our lives. Is there any area of our life that we're being, you know, that we're bitter over, that we're being jealous of? And then now I want us to look at the results of bitterness. Bitterness is one of those things that will literally eat you to your core. Have you seen someone that's been overtaken in bitterness? It's a sad thing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God," here it is, "lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby may be defiled." It's a defiling thing. It's a destructive thing. And we're going to continue in the story, and we're going to finish out this chapter. But the brothers, they traveled into Shechem with the flock, and they went down into Dothan, and Joseph was sent to retrieve his brothers, or to check up on them, rather. And we're going to pick up in verse number 18. It says, "And when they saw him far off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." Hold on a second, guys. What? What just happened? Just a second ago, they were envious, right? A little bit envious. They were maybe a little bit jealous. But now they're over here and they're saying, "Let's slay him. Let's kill him." That kind of escalated quickly. But oftentimes, we don't think that these little sins, these little thoughts are going to escalate, but they do. It's the natural way of things. In verse 19, it says, "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh." Can I tell you something? That whenever we start speaking to people and we start making fun of them with no remorse, that's the time to check ourselves. You know, I find myself doing that sometimes with different people, but I find myself doing it with people that I don't know, like politicians. I find myself doing that with people that, you know, are in the media and stuff, and I'm quick to say something and I don't feel any remorse for it. And then God says, "Hello, you're a Christian. You shouldn't be speaking like that. You shouldn't be thinking like that." And it's something that I've had to work on a lot, because I'm just one of those quick mouth sometimes. And the Lord's really had to show me that. But here we're going to see that when you find it hard to say something peacefully under them, you need to check yourself and be sure that root of bitterness is not growing inside of you. In verse 20, we're going to go ahead and read the rest of the chapter now. In verse 20 it says, "Now therefore let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will come of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of the hands to deliver him to their father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty there with no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell it to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph out of Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren, and said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed the goat, and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, this have we found now. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured it. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the guard. You know, the sins of the mind and of the spirit, they never stay there. It starts in the heart, and then it works out of the mouth, and it works to the hands, and into your actions, and how you interact with people, and how you view God. It all starts here, though. This is where the Lord wants to grip our hearts. But unfortunately, for these brothers, they let it fester. They let it boil. They let this jealousy, this anger, they just let it build and build and build. And, you know, if we let that in our hearts, we're going to hurt not just that person that we have ill towards, because we will eventually hurt them, whether it's spiritually or physically. But it also hurts those around us. Think about Joseph's father, Jacob. He is now in shambles. He is going to be mourning until the day that he dies, he says. And it's hurt him. And, you know, that's the way it is with bitterness. It hurts those around us. And the thing is, eventually, bitterness will hurt us. You know, I've heard it say about bitterness and resentment that resentment is like drinking poison. You drink poison and you're expecting it to kill the other person. It doesn't do it. It doesn't do any good. I heard a story about two monks, and they were coming down from the village, and they were walking down, and they were going to the crop, where the crops were at, and they were going to pick up the crops. But along the way, they came along the side of this river, and they saw this old lady, and she was kind of weeping a little bit, and she's like, I just want to cross right here. There used to be a bridge here, but it collapsed. And so the first monk, he says, well, okay, well, we'll just take you across the river. So he grabbed her arms, and the second monk grabbed her legs, and they took her across the river. And, you know, she thanked them, and then they said, okay, hey, have a good day. And then they went their way, and she went her way. And they walked a couple of miles, and the second monk goes, ugh, look at my clothes. They're all filthy. They're disgusting in my back. Oh, it's starting to get sore. Man, why do we have to help that dumb lady? And so the first monk, he just smiled and nodded at him. And then they kept walking a little bit further, and about another mile or two. And the second monk goes, oh, my back. And I can't believe we wasted that time. I can't believe I hurt my back. All this blah, blah, blah. He just was complaining. And he just sat down on the road, and he just started moaning. He was like, oh, I'm done. I'm tired of this. And the first monk, he stopped, and he looked at him, and he said, have you wondered why I haven't been complaining? It's because your back hurts because you are still carrying the lady. I put her down 5 miles ago. And, you know, that's just a little story, but that's how it is with bitterness. Sometimes we're bitter about something or somebody or something that happened in our lives, and we hold on to it, and we think that that's a part of us now, and we hold on to it, and we carry it with us throughout the rest of our life, whenever God doesn't want that. God wants us to have joy. He wants us to have all the fruits of the Spirit. He wants you to leave that in the past. And once again, it's one of those things that are easy to say, but sometimes it's harder to do. But God gives us the strength to do it. If He asks you to do something, He's going to enable you to do it. And, you know, we can't hold on to those things of the past. We have to let them go. Because those things that we don't let go become anger, become frustration, become more bitterness. And it's just this cycle, and it keeps going down and down, and it goes down into the pit. And that eventually will just become pain. And God doesn't want us to live like that. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Let me read that again. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And you know, I just love God. I love Him so much, and I love sometimes in the Bible where He tells us to do stuff, and then He keeps telling us to do stuff. Let me tell you what I mean here. Because, you know, He could have just said, "Get rid of that out of your life. You know, boom, just do it because I told you to do it." But no, He continues on. In verse 32 it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And you know, anytime that God asks us to get rid of something, sometimes we get it in our head that that now is a part of us. But whenever God tells us to take something away from our lives, He understands that now there's this void in your life. And He's giving you something else to put in that place. So now whenever you take out bitterness, whenever you take out wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, and you take this out, He gives us something to fill its place. He says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He has given us this opportunity to make better. Look in with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 27. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. I want you guys to think, just think about this as I read it, all right? "But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take away thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners do also even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful." Now I'm about to close the message here, but I want us to see that we need to take that bitterness that might be in our heart. Because right now, if you're sensitive to God, right now the Holy Spirit is telling you, okay, you have this problem with this person, because that's just how God works. And right now, I just want us to introspect a little bit and say, okay, is there anybody that I'm bitter at, that I'm maybe a little jealous towards, or that I have anger for? Because there's no room for that in the Christian life. Because God, what is the second commandment? Love thy neighbor. And if we can't do that free-flowingly, if we have this blockade of bitterness in front of us, there's no way that we can possibly fulfill all that God wants us to, or fulfill that second commandment, because we're being restricted by bitterness. And you know, love is not something that comes naturally for us. Love is one of those things that we have to have from God. It is a supernatural thing. It is a divine thing. It's created by God, and He wants us to have that. And whenever we have that right relationship with God, and whenever we've put away bitterness, when we put away anger and all these things, that opens up the floodgates so that we can channel God's love to others. And when we have that relationship right with God and we have that relationship right with others, it's unity. It's the Spirit. It's everything that God wants us to have. And so there's a proverb here. It says, Proverb 10:12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. And we as Christians should be able to forgive anything. Because didn't Christ do that for us? Whenever He died on the cross, He died for every little bitty sin that we've ever done. And some are really big sins. And God did that for us. And so, in turn, we should be able to do that for others. And it's just something that we all need to be, you know, resident of and just thinking about and making sure that we keep ourselves in check. Because bitterness is one of those things that you don't even realize it, but then you're doing it. This last semester, I'm not one of those people that takes things personally. Like literally, I was working at a factory. You know, I know what that's like, having people just say all kinds of things to you. You know, I would just say that I'm kind of like, you know, the water off the duck's back, you could say. But this semester, I had an issue with this one student, and he really wasn't doing anything wrong. But I was finding myself speaking poorly about him to other people, which is not in my character. That's not who I usually am. And I found myself being really aggravated when he was around. And whenever I saw him, I would get like this fire, this little prick in my chest. And I was like, and then one day the Lord showed me Luke chapter 6. I was like, man, I'm messing up right now. You know, I'm totally stuck in bitterness. I'm like jealous of this guy. And the Lord just started unraveling all these things in my mind and in my heart, and He's like, listen, start praying for this person. I was like, I don't really want to pray for him, you know. But then the Lord was like, listen, I love you, love him. And so I started praying for this person. I started, you know, trying to spend more time trying to understand him a little bit more. And, you know, the Lord has really healed that relationship. And now I'm actually pretty decent friends with that person. And I just want to say that, you know, some people obviously we cannot reconnect with because, you know, they're maybe living a lifestyle that we can't, you know, that may be toxic and that we can't, you know, repair. But if it's a brother in Christ, if it's, you know, somebody at your co-place, maybe it's somebody in this room that you have a problem with and that you're bitter at or you're just angry with, you know, that's just one of those things that it's a conversation that you can have that can heal and it can enable you to love more and it can open up that spirit of unity. And I would just love if we could have the invitation now. And I just want you guys to just pray, and if you want to pray with each other or whatever, and then we'll go ahead and close the service, all right? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, I just ask that you would help us now in this moment of introspection, that you would just help us to see our need for you and to see just our need to let go of certain things in our lives so that we can live the fullest life that we can, and that we can please you with all that we do, and that we can love others as you have asked us to do. All right, Lord, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, keep your head down and your eyes closed for a second. Maybe you're here today, and I see we have some younger people, and maybe you're bitter at your parents. That's something that you can get right with the Lord, or get right with your parents. And maybe you're a parent here, and you're bitter at your kid for something that they've done. That's something that you can maybe give them a phone call and work out. You know, Christians, we ought not be bitter at each other. We ought to love each other. Maybe there's a loved one or a fellow Christian or a coworker or somebody that you need to call. And the worst bitterness that we can have is the bitterness against God. whether it be because of a scenario or something that happened. And that's just something that we can get right with the Lord right here and right now. So if you have that, I just ask that you get it right with the Lord. Thank you guys so much for your attention. And that's just something that we all got to work on. I had to work on it. And if you're here and you just want to pray with somebody after service, I'm totally available to pray with you guys. And even not even about this subject, just about anything. I'm readily available for you guys. I understand that we have a business meeting after this. So I think there's going to be a 5-minute break. And then you guys can come back in that are involved in that. And then you guys, otherwise, the rest of you are all dismissed. So have a good evening, all right?